Begin transmission.
Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on your location on this planet of ours. My name is Tobe, and I hereby call this meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee to order. First item on the agenda today is trying to get my cat to meow so we can record it. I've decided to go outside. It's a nice day, and so I'm going to go out. I've got the doors open. I'm going to go outside to clean up some trash in my backyard. And while out there, the cat will probably notice that I'm out there and then want to come outside and go yang, yang, yang a lot. So we're going to go out through the garage. Let's open the garage door. There goes the garage door. And we'll sneak around into the backyard here. Oh, it's nice and cool. It's got to be less than 70 degrees, I bet. And as soon as my cat hears me talking to nobody in the backyard, the cat's gonna come running to the door and start giving us kitty yang business. Okay, close the gate. Now there's some birds in the trees here. It's kind of breezy today. Oh, and I got a lot of trash to pick up over here on my patio. Oh, who this is? Hi! Yeah, somebody just noticed I'm in the backyard and is now looking out the window. Are you gonna talk for me? You want to talk on the radio? Are you a radio kitty? Oh yeah, so now that I've got the microphone up to your face, now you don't want to do it. Are you going to talk on the radio? You going to be a radio kitty? Oh, that was a good one. Are you a radio kitty? You want to say hi to everybody in comm? Do you want to say hi to everybody on IRC? Are you going to give me some more kitty yangs? You elder little ones? Going to give me some big meowing kitty yangs? Come on, give me some more kitty yangs. You want to talk on the radio? You want to say hi to SDF? It's the Super Dimensional Kitty Radio. Yeah, that's probably all we're going to get for now. Let me clean up some of this trash. And by trash, you gotta realize that I do mean expended fireworks. Oh, somebody's still yanging up a storm.
What? What is it? Well, what is it that he wants to do? Do you want to be on the radio some more?
Why is it that whenever I get close, you stop yanging? Because you're a yangy? Oh, and every time I walk away from the door, then she has to get up and start yanging again. Her plaintive kitty yangs. Somebody gotta let me outside. Nobody's letting me go outside. Oh my goodness, it's kitty abuse. You gonna write a letter to PETA? You gonna write a letter to PETA? Telling them how much kitty abuse you gonna get? Cause, oh, we can't go outside. Are you gonna do some more yangs? Give me some more kitty yangs.
Are you being a good baby? You're being kind of yangy baby, huh? Are you rubbing your face up against the door because it's your door and you own it? What's about that, do you think? You want to give me some yangs?
Oh, you're gonna scratch on the screen? Gonna put your claws on the screen? This is why I have to buy new screens all the time? Oh, you see something in somebody else's yard?
That's my friend Jim. He's our neighbor. That's Jim the neighbor. He's cooking some hamburgers on his grill. Do you want some kitty burgers? You gonna give me yangs?
And now she's walking back into the main room. Okay. Wait, coming back.
You gonna give me some more kitty yangs?
And I think that's about all we're gonna get. Let's go back inside. And that's how we play fun kitty games with kitties. I'm back inside now, and I was just walking by the TV, and I saw something from a couple days ago in which Serena Williams, the number one super-duper tennis player, was defeated by a woman named Roberta Vinci, an Italian woman who was ranked somewhere like 43rd, such a low ranking that they didn't even bother to post it by her name. And yes, she beat Serena Williams and ended Serena Williams' 23-game winning streak in the U.S. Open or something like that. And it made me think of two things. One, her last name was Vinci. I wonder if that is derived from the Latin verb vinco or vincere, to conquer. See also Omnia Vincit Amor and Veni Vidi Vici. So I think that would be an appropriate name for a woman that beat Serena Williams. And the other thing I saw on TV was, there's a 1.1 billion, that's billion with a B, bravo, $1.1 billion buyout clause in Cristiano Ronaldo's contract. Like, wow, there's a guy worth $1.1 billion. And what this buyout clause is, this isn't the money he gets. This is the money that his club gets if another team wants to buy him. They're going to have to pay $1.1 billion. That's a lot of money for a guy who plays the football. In other football news, you've probably heard that Wayne Rooney, my personal hero, I love the guy, has recently beaten the record for international goals scored by an English player. He recently made 50, and by the time you hear this, he might have gotten more, beating out Sir Bobby Charlton. So all I can say is, congratulations, Wayne. This probably will get you an OBE in a couple of years. And for all Americans who do not know what an OBE is, go ahead and look it up, because this isn't the Heraldry Show. You're listening to Tobe on Anon Radio. In other football news, David De Gea finally re-signed with Manchester United and didn't end up at Real Madrid after all. Can't figure out how that ever went down, but they managed to do it. I just hope he can return to form, because I prefer him to all the other guys we've got on United's team at this point. One of my other teams is not doing so great. Borussia Mönchengladbach. They lost the other day. They lost on... They're just collapsing. They're like... Borussia Mönchengladbach is like the German Chelsea. They should not be doing so bad. They should not be in the relegation zone. They should be up much higher on the table. I don't know what's going on with any of these teams, but then again, I'm not the international football manager, so maybe I just don't even know what I'm talking about. That's always a possibility. Yes, you can help me. I already have all the information I need. I should also mention that crickets can be heard, but no freaking cicadas. Today's a cicada-free day. I'm so happy. Although, you know, give it a couple hours, maybe they'll start up when the sun goes down, but we might have finally broken through the cicada barrier. But to be perfectly honest, I'm just glad that it's not 1,000 degrees today. I just looked on the Weather Channel, and then I correlated the data with some thermometers that are outdoors mounted to the outside of my house, and it is actually less than 70 degrees. 70 degrees Fahrenheit. What's that in metric? I don't know. Somewhere in the 20s. Call it 21. And that's without doing any conversions. Don't bother with the conversions, kids. Just know. This means that I won't need to develop the Lambda Point refrigerator for my house. That's right. I'm trying to design a Lambda Point air conditioning unit to keep me cool in the summer. And if you don't know what the Lambda Point is, that's That's the temperature at which normal liquid helium transitions into helium-2, a superfluid. It's mighty cold. It's about 2.2 Kelvin or somewhere in that neighborhood. And if you don't know what Kelvin is, boy, should you even be listening to me talk sometimes? I gotta wonder. If you can't do the conversions between Fahrenheit and Celsius, you're not gonna get the Kelvin business. But if you do know what Kelvin is, you can understand that 2.2 Kelvin is mighty cold, and you can also see why I would want to have that refrigerator, or at least an air conditioner of that nature. However, once you start getting to temperatures that cold, I don't know how to keep the machine running. Oh, you thought it was hard to start your car when it was below zero? Yeah, below zero Fahrenheit? Yeah, try starting your car at 2 Kelvin. Oddly enough, I already have the cryostat required. I don't know why this is getting to be so difficult. Oh, can you hear that? That's the police helicopter flying over my house. Dun dun dun. It's the cops and their forward-looking infrared radar, FLIR. I'm fairly convinced they're watching me. But they always say, oh no, no, we don't use it to look into people's houses, not at all. It's only for tracking bad guys at night. Yeah, sure it is. I know when I'm being lied to. But now that it's relatively cool, I don't need to work on that anymore because there's been something else that's been bothering me. Licorice and spearmint, do these flavors go together? I can't tell if they do or not. Don't ask me how I even got into this, but okay, I'll tell you anyway. Some of these pills I take are flavored with spearmint and licorice. And it tastes odd to me, but it's also a flavor that I recognize, but I can't put my finger on. Is this some kind of old-fashioned candy flavor? You know, like Whorehound? Or one of those old-timey things? Or is this the flavor of envelope glue? Or stamp adhesive? I've had this taste before, but there's no modern candy because kids don't even eat licorice anymore. By which I mean anise-flavored things. I'm confused. So while I continue thinking about this, let's let you listen to today's musical selection. So I'll be back in a minute while you listen to this awesome music.
professional. How about thanks a bunch of much?
Oh, that never, ever gets old, does it? You're listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and we're in the middle of the Daily Dubious Goals Committee. And as I check my agenda here, I notice that the next topic of discussion just happens to be my secret 200-meter project. And my secret 200-meter project is a project that, well, the goal is to launch a projectile 200 meters. And how am I going to do this? I don't know. I have to do this fairly stealthily because, well, you know, I live in the middle of a city, so I can't fire a cannon. Kaboom! People call the cops. And if there's one thing I don't like, it's cops knocking on my door. So I was kind of thinking that I might go pneumatic, meaning air pressure. Because I've got air compressors, I can build some stuff, I got some valves, I can rig some stuff up. But now I gotta wonder, alright, how much air pressure do I need to launch a projectile of any given mass 200 yards? Now you might be asking, or 200 meters, I don't remember how I measured it. According to this diagram, I measured it in meters. And I'm actually looking at a photograph I took. I took one of the Google satellite photographs, and then I overlaid some minimum and maximum safety lines and made some measurements and a nominal bearing, which happens to be 130 degrees, if I'm launching something off my back porch. So I got a picture of my house up here in the corner. It's a satellite picture. And then the empty field that's about 160 meters away on a bearing of 130 degrees, which is, that would be, let's see, southeast-ish, give or take a little bit. I'm not going to box the compass for you at this point, but you can figure it out at your home. So I'm wondering, what's it going to take? Now, I guess it depends on the projectile. So I got to have a projectile that will travel, but is fairly safe, but won't break, because the whole object of this is to launch it and then go retrieve it. So I'll make something and maybe put a nose cone on it, so it's like a rocket, but not very big. I don't know. I don't know how big I want to be. The bigger it is, the easier it is to find, but yeah, it's easier to make a high pressure barrel if it's smaller in diameter. You can get more air travel, get higher pressures, get greater muzzle lengths, and therefore get a greater muzzle velocity. And strangely enough, since I know the distance and I know trigonometry, I know the muzzle velocity I need. So now all I gotta do is figure out how to calculate muzzle velocity from some kind of pneumatic petard shooting some kind of cardboard projectile. So, how am I going to do this exactly? I don't know. Still working on it. Now, I know you're probably asking, Toe, but why don't you just do it empirically? Why do the math? Why figure it out? Why not just start taking shots? Well, because I have to, before this big empty field is about 160 meters of dwellings. I actually have to go over 1, 2, 3 rows of houses and over 2 streets. So I can't afford to have anything fall short and potentially do property damage. But I can go long. So, I guess I could, just go for broke. Because once I get past the second street, Parkview Drive, as it curves around there, I'm wide open. Well, up to a point. This is a baseball field, and then, it's not in the field of this photograph, but I would say another 800 to 1,000 yards or meters. Not quite that much. 600 to 700 meters further, then there's a street. And so I wouldn't want to go too long and hit anybody driving by. That would be no good. Even though it's just a cardboard tube with a nose cone or whatever. You know, I could just make like a foam rocket. But it would have to have some mass so that it would, you know, travel. But rockets are easy to weight in the nose. But then you have to have some sort of internal launcher. Then it depends on the size. Then your muzzle velocity ends up depending on the length of the rocket airframe. Which, now we're selling ourselves short. So I think just a traditional shot type of shot would be best. How am I going to stabilize it? I'm just going to make sure that it's ballistically stable. I know how to do that. I've done some rocketry stuff. But now I know you're going, well, Tobe, why don't you rifle the barrel and spin stabilize it? Well, I've given it some thought, and I am thinking about adding like some very small like spring activated spin fins that once it leaves the tube, the fins pop out and give a little spin. And you maybe say, well, why make them spin fins? Well, because fins don't work very the same way as going horizontally as they do when they're going up. There's no lifting body. They're not wings. They're just fins. So I have a lot of things to think about in the secret 200 meter project. And as soon as I get any of those things worked out, I will let you know. Next on the agenda is another dubious goal that I have, and that goal is to steam distill some nepetalactone. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Nepetalactone. What is it? Well, basically it's the essential oil of catnip. I have a bunch of catnip. I mean, and when I say a bunch, I mean I grow loads of it. I've got this huge patch along this decorative fence I have in my front walk, and it's well over a dozen plants, pushing 20, and they get big. And then the backyard, the whole lower section of my house is just lined with catnip and people mint. I got some spearmint. I got spearmint and catnip. And some cats like to react to spearmint as well. So, you know, you can mix the two together and have quite the kitty cocktail. Yes, I am the kitty dope man. I grow the kitty dope, and it's only because I love kitties so much. And it's harvest time. I've got flowering catnip galore. I gotta get me some seeds. I gotta get a whole bunch of stuff. Then I'm gonna go out and I gotta seed this other place so I can get some bigger collections of catnip. But my main problem is setting up a steam distillation rig. I don't have any good lab equipment. Well, I got some good lab equipment, but don't exactly have all the stuff I need. And now that the emeritus is retired, it's hard for me to get more lab equipment. And I wonder if he's got a good steam distillation setup. I might just have to build something, and I probably will, especially if I want to do this in any kind of quantity. I'm going to end up with at least a couple of bushels. Don't ask me what that is in metric. I have no idea. I would say, I don't know, 30 liters? three decaliters? Regardless, I want to distill the essential oil of catnip, nepetalactone. It's a monoterpenoid, in case you're wondering. And you know how much I love terpenoids. So then I'll have super high concentrated mega kitty oil. And that'll be fun to give to my cat and see how she reacts, because she has a pretty typical cat catnip reaction. You know, it takes her a minute. You know, I'll sit there. I've got these like crocheted mice that are stuffed with catnip, and I'll sort of freshen them up, and then I'll take them over to her and give her to her to smell, and she'll start smelling. She'll be like, "What's this?" Then I'll start whacking her in the face with it, and she likes that. She's like, "Oh," because all the catnip dust comes flying out, and she inhales it. And she's like, "Oh, what's this?" And then she has to grab it with her paws. Then she flops over and starts wrestling with it on the ground and freaking out. You've seen it. You know what they do. So I'm hoping I can get some faster uptake and maybe a larger reaction with some highly concentrated steam distilled nepetalactone. Oh, experiments at Tobe's house. Yeah, this is how we do science here in my house, where everything's a little bit wackier than where you might live. Oh boy, the things I do for my cat. Apparently it also repels cockroaches, and I don't have any roach problems, and also mosquitoes, so maybe when I go out looking for other dudes, I'll spray myself with nepetalactone and attract cats at the same time. But look at the time, speaking of which, it's time for me to go. I gotta go. You've been listening to me, Tobe, on Anon Radio. This has been the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. And as much as I'd like to hang around, DJ Kumada is coming up next, and he'll cut me off if I don't say bye-bye. So, bye-bye!
You gonna be radio kitty?